All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, mate, we are doing some speed dating. brought to you this speed dating place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So have you ever done this before?
No, I'm most familiar with this by that one scene in the 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, with Gina.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a seat, and we're going to girls are gonna come up and sit down across from us, and we're gonna quickly kind of talk about our jobs, stuff like that. You'll get 5 minutes.
Okay.
And we're gonna see if we make a good pair. But I want to let you know that because it was a Groupon, I got this other one. It's from Australia, so there's a language barrier, so there's no talking about it. We're just gonna sit and kind of stare meaningfully into each other's eyes, and see if we'd make a good pair.
Yeah, because a great deal of our communication is nonverbal. Okay, I can get this.
Yeah. And cultural, and yeah. We're not gonna know. So let's have a seat here.
Okay.
Yeah. And these two. whoa!
Wait, what's going on?
Is your lady? Is she putting her? Is she rubbing her foot all over you?
Yeah. Is that not normal?
I don't know. Maybe it's their culture.
Okay.
Let me look real quick at the tickets.
Whoa! Hey, let's not go so close to the equator. I understand your. I know the effect that I have on women.
Flattered, but I don't want to have an uncomfortable walk home.
Right.
So look, it's speed dating, and then under that it's Aussie rules footsie.
Sorry, I knew what you were doing, and I knew what it was leading to. It's still fucking dumb.
I don't know. I think what was the like alternative? Like, what's inside the soccer ball?
It's not. No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm happy. So, Gary, at this point in our creative relationship, I hope you understand when I say this is fucking dumb. It's a compliment.
No, I know. Hold on a second. I'm going to go jerk off in the bathroom.
Oh yeah.
Look under the toilet. I found an yes card.
Okay, cool. Ozzy rolls footy.
I came.
Oh boy, it certainly is.
I am Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Out of Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yeah. And this is another dictated game. Let's look here. This was done kicktated. This was recommended by one Mark Staunton, who says, "You guys are great when you get into stream of consciousness tangents. So my first choice is a game giving you the blankest canvas I can." Mission achieved, Mark. Yeah. Australia has/had a fairly strict sporting segregation. South and West states played AFL. Queensland and New South Wales played rugby league. as a Queenslander who had never watched a game of AFL, when I first played this game, I had no idea what was going on, scoring, rules, anything. Even without that knowledge, it was still great fun to play with friends. So, and then there's more that I don't understand. I was about to make a joke like low sports ball. I don't even understand American football. I do understand American football. I've played it. I watch it from time to time. This is fucking inscrutable.
I was playing it like it would just be American football.
Yeah.
Like soccer. Like, yeah. Is how I was trying to play it. Like, I just need to get the ball and get it over to the other side, and I'll be okay. Other than that, I don't know what was going on, though.
No, I had no idea why a penalty was called on me. Just like, hey, here's... Is that the way it works in the real game? The ref blows their whistle, or the referee blows their whistle, and then all of a sudden you have to stand still?
You call him a referee?
Yeah.
That's very good.
Sorry.
I like that. Well, the referee also is dressed up as... Donald Sutherland from what's it said from the Invasion of the Body Snatchers, like his white suit and white hat and tie.
He's dressed up like Ted Danson in Body Heat, just doing soft shoe on the docks.
Like, I'm in the flock of eagles, like your flock of seagulls. Like, Flock of Eagles is the cool American version of Flock of Seagulls.
Oh yeah, more badass.
We didn't run, we fought. We fought so far away.
As we do.
But yeah, so I love the referee in this. It's very funny. I didn't really know what was going on in the game either, and was very bad at it.
Yeah. I got dunked on. Quite literally.
I'm more of a kick to kick man. Like, I think as far as like my skill level, I'm pretty good at kick to kick.
Yeah. Well, because all you have to do is kick it downfield, get to the ball before them, and then just like score. Like, it's just one on one.
Or is it? I thought it was just like playing catch with a buddy.
I had no idea.
Like, he never really pursued me. I love it when there's an NES game where there's a menu option that just that's like one player, two player, kick to kick. Like,
one player, two player, the ride. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'll go on the ride. Fuck it. I'll do some kick to kick. And like, the guy never seemed to pursue me. Like, he kicked to kicked me, and I like would just catch it and kick to kick back. And we just did that for a little while, like father and son. And then I kicked past him, and then like ran past him to kick it further, like okay. In case it was a one-on-one. And when I kicked it out of bounds, it just reset us both back at the beginning. So I don't know if I scored a point or what that meant. I think it's just like a training mode.
Oh yeah, to get you used to like the rhythm, because it's a little fiddly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's really, I never got it. Like, I was really, I couldn't get the ball away from anybody.
Yeah. No, I really had no idea. Like, from the tip off, which I guess is the bounce, mm-hmm. Everything on this was a baffling ordeal. First off, how did they get the ball to bounce straight up? Because chasing after a football is one of the least dignified things a person can do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like kicking a coin across the floor. Kind of thing, you know, like you're just like, oh, whenever you pick it up, or your hat,
yeah,
you know, you keep kicking your hat. Like, I don't know how really anything happened, and I'm not trying to, I don't know, sports ball thing either. I just, I felt like it was hard for me to understand what the things were that made this inscrutable, that were because it was Aussie rules footsie, mm-hmm. or what it was NES footsie.
Yeah, just like NES imposed simplicity.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that kind of thing, like that, like Tecmo Super Bowl. You know, being a pretty big abstraction of football.
Yeah, yeah, but still a fun game.
Oh, that game's great.
Yeah.
So the referee is great. He's real cool. The guy, the announcer guy.
The announcer is Charles Bronson.
Yeah, he's great. I got this message and I put it on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it. Uh-huh. It's and I couldn't take a screenshot because my new keyboard doesn't have a print screen key.
Okay.
Or it actually does, but it's a function key, so it's a weird, because it's a small keyboard.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just took a screenshot of my phone, so it doesn't look very good, but it's him going, Brisbane's big men are just too strong.
Yep, you said that to me too.
Yeah, yeah. Brisbane's big men are just too strong.
Way too strong.
And Liam confirmed it.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, he is our resident Australian.
Yeah. We have lots of Australian.
This is true. Mark is one. Liam is one we talk to the most because he's a mod. But
yeah. When like Vadi and you know, we have lots of Australian buddies.
Yeah,
in our world. They kind of explain this kind of stuff to us. Not that I actually don't want to know. I'm okay not knowing how to play Australian rules football.
Yeah. So like looking at it, the rules just seem fairly simple. I was thrown off because there's no passing. You have to like drop kick the ball to get to somebody.
Yeah.
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 It's not like soccer where you're dribbling it. Like you have to like get into a position.
You can use your hands. It's like you just can't throw.
Right.
Yeah. The on GameFAQs in here, it says games you may like.
Okay.
International cricket. The Legend of Zelda, Final Fantasy, Super Mario Brothers 3, Zelda 2, The Adventures of Link.
Well, I mean, yeah, those are good NES games.
Yeah, and then like international cricket. The tagline for international cricket: "How's that?" Your teammate let out a loud cry of appeal to the umpire. It seems like an eternity before he raises his. And then it goes on like
is
that.
Is this the tagline? No, it's not.
It's in the description.
That's not a tagline.
But the GameFAQs description is like fan fiction. It's an eternity before he raises his arm to indicate a batsman is out. Out LBW for a duck. Your fast bowlers have been deadly accurate. Let's hope your batsman can perform as well when it's your. And then it goes on like that. Like, it's like several levers.
Yeah.
Deep.
That's the
warning. It's not a spectator sport.
It's a problem of vocabulary. Is the problem, I think, because none of that makes any sense to me, like any of that. But if somebody said like, oh, okay, well, it's just the guy who throws the ball and the guy who catches the ball. Okay, good.
And LBW is Link Between Worlds, and it's out for a duck.
Oh, okay. Yeah. yep. It is literally a trans-dimensional game.
I love this warning. This is not a spectator sport, like cricket or be cricketed. You know, like you will.
Cricket's going to happen to you whether you want it or not.
Cricket's coming, courting.
Yeah. So there's the little meter that determines your accuracy if you're going for a kick, which I had trouble figuring out because it's just overlaid and it's like a flashing white thing. It's almost like an Atari overlay itself. This is developed by our good friends at Beam Software. So like we've done other stuff by them, and this is exclusive to Australia. Despite that, I feel like I've heard about this game a lot, but I couldn't tell you where.
I have not.
Okay. Yeah.
It's got a funny name. It's like Sensible Soccer.
Oh yeah. So the Sensible World of Soccer.
Yeah. Sensible World of Soccer.
Yeah.
So, it reminds me of that in that it's just kind of like a funny name that people are going to kind of put around, you know?
Yeah. It'll end up on those lists of bizarre, you know, NES games. Like, why was this made?
Yeah. And it's just a cultural thing. Like we just didn't, you know, because American pastimes are nonsense too.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. I have no idea if it's a good game. Like the one Game Facts review really likes it. But I couldn't get the ball away from my opponent consistently enough.
No, it just, you would end up, hey, here's the term. You would just end up in a scrum with like a bunch of people. And I had no idea what button I needed to press to actually affect any kind of change in the game state.
Yeah, and I made the mistake of choosing like two uniform colors that had like decent contrast with the upfront pictures, but not great when they were kind of shrunk down.
Oh, yeah. Me.
So it's just very hard for me to tell like who I was in any given scrimmage.
Yeah,
scrimly do. the Australian name there is for it.
The one fact for this is just an explanation of the history and rules of Australian rules football.
Yeah, it's just an ambassador kind of thing.
Yeah,
like just like, hey, yeah, I can help. You know, like I can get people into this thing, and it's like, yeah, it's cool if you're into this.
Yeah,
you know, like it's you know, it doesn't seem, one of the things that is the plus side of like our like sports ballness, right? Mm-hmm. Is that I don't think this is any more inherently ridiculous or stupid than any other sport.
No.
Like, they're all pretty arbitrary and ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very hard for when people are just like, oh, golf isn't a sport. Oh, you know, et cetera. It's like, well, why? You know, like, because people are punching each other. Like, I don't really understand, like, why that's your metric for it.
Yeah.
It's all arbitrary silliness.
Saying X isn't a sport is like saying Y isn't a game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's almost worse because it's like they're these huge multi-million, you know, they're not just saying like, you know, hey, Jeff Ball, this game I play in my backyard isn't a sport. Like they're saying like golf, which is like there's a huge industry of golf, you know?
Yeah.
It is. There is a huge industry of golf.
Yeah. No, well, no, I mean, like, the difference between a sport and just a game that you play in the physical realm around you is sponsorship.
Yeah. Like,
sponsorship and an audience, you know? There's nothing too ridiculous about this. Like, it's very strange. I was kind of fascinated to like figure out the way that it differs and the way that it kind of combines all this stuff, but like it is the universal game. It's soccer, it's, you know, football, it's, you know, what everybody else calls football, it's hockey. Like, you have a thing and you're trying to get it to the end of a large space and people are trying to stop you.
Yeah, there's kind of like two kinds of sports. There's like the transport the ball to one end of a thing, and then there's the put the ball in a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's most of what we got. And then there's do the thing the fastest.
You know? Yeah.
But I guess like shot put is a sport.
Yeah. You know? I mean,
it's a sport. It's just, yeah, so I guess, like, there's, you know, also throw the thing the farthest.
Yeah, you're doing it. Like, what does baseball count in that, like, you know?
Baseball is a really complicated sport.
Yeah.
Like, in a weird way. Like, it's not it's like a mix of, you know, run the fastest, get the furthest. You know, it's a real everybody plays this club cranium kind of thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. One of my big regrets about, you know, so I live in a big baseball town. We're coming up on opening day. I don't know how long I'm gonna be in the city anymore. Like
the crack of the bat.
I should probably make an effort. I've only been to one Reds game, Gary.
Oh.
Yeah, like I should probably make an effort to, like, because baseball tickets, it's not like football. You can just, for $20, get a seat up in the bleachers. You know, you're going to be drinking the same beer. You're going to be, you know, yeah. You're going to take a similar Uber home.
Yeah. I think about that sometimes too, with, like, because Portland's a big soccer town. Like, that's the sport that we have going for us. And, like,
a couple of years ago, when I was flying out there, I was actually, like, on the plane with the Portland Timbers or whatever it is. And everybody was freaking the fuck out.
Yeah. People love them, those guys. I think about that sometimes too, as an opportunity thing. And it's like, I can have fun at a sport like event, but I would just rather go. You should go find the Cincinnati Roller Derby team.
Yeah.
Go watch that instead.
Cincinnati hockey, it's not going to be as good.
Big, but, Cyclones. You know, Yeah. It's not the thing the town's known for, but it's a more fun sport to watch.
Right.
And not just for boner potential, but also just like the tone is not, there's no pretentiousness to the tone of it. It's not self-serious at all.
Yeah.
In a way that I appreciate.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just one of those things. Like it feels like a part of culture that I am not participating in a way that there is a lot of culture that I'm not participating in because I don't do things like leave the house, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can see it.
Yeah.
I can also see, like, if it were me, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if I didn't.
Oh yeah. I'm not even that upset about it. It just seems like something that I should do because I have fun when I do.
Cause when in Rome,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And cause it's, there's a big difference between just like going down the street and doing it and then like driving up 2 hours.
Right.
To do it, you know, which is one of those is much, much harder.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of my like lack of interest in sports has to do with like how appointment TV in general doesn't fit in for me either. So like the fact like, oh, there's a game, you know, this Sunday.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, it doesn't really matter what's this Sunday unless it's like Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones. Like I don't make time for it, you know?
Yeah.
And like there are other TV shows. I'm so used to taking media on my own terms and sports is almost entirely like event. That you don't hear about people watching sports after the fact. It definitely happens.
Oh yeah, I mean,
but they you get the relevant information instead. Like people are much more likely to like just know the score and know a couple of the big plays and then watch the highlights and that's it.
Yeah. But I mean, so you haven't always been. Okay, I was about to say something crazy, Gary. You haven't always been like this. you're really, our relationships with media haven't always been that appointment viewing is a bad thing. Like it used to happen all the time. Like a lot of people got into sports, you know, before any of the time shifting became just the way that you know meted out the entertainment that you had. So like it was much more common and people went for it. And I think a lot of the people, you know, our age who are still kind of crazy about it never stopped, you know, at least for that there. So like it feels like it goes back, like my indifference toward it. And it really is like, I'm not looking down on it. Like I have no cultural baggage around sports at all. But like it goes back well before I just didn't have the time or the inclination or the interest. Well, I mean the interest as well, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
It's not entirely that like it's, you know, my current, relationship with appointment viewing. I just wonder if that plays into it at all.
Yeah.
It's lots of factors that, you know, not interesting. Like some of it is like, you know, there are cultural elements I don't like about it.
Yeah.
You know, there's also, it's just a big loud place, you know, like you go to the, even the area around the Timber Stadium is just like a big loud nightmare whenever there's a game. It's full of screaming idiots. Like it's, you know, they're not bad people. They're just screaming and drunk, you know, and they're happy. Good for them. But it makes the streets really unpleasant to be on. You know? and it makes bars unpleasant to be in, and it makes restaurants unpleasant to be in. Like it is an unpleasantness.
Yeah,
there, you know, is somebody who is a soft boy.
Yeah, definitely. There is an amount of soft boyism to it. So I work. The place that I work is right next to Paul Brown Stadium on the riverfront of Cincinnati. And so anytime between let's say August and February. Whenever I go to drive home, I have to drive between Paul Brown Stadium and the Bengals practice field. And it doesn't matter. Anytime that I try and do it, players are always walking back and forth and they do not care about the walk, do not walk sign. So it's like, you are a hero to thousands of children. You make millions of dollars, if not for my city, at least for people who live in this city. And like, you are making my life hell right now because you think you're royalty. Fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you were to accidentally hit him because he's, you know, walked in front of your car, like you'd probably get set on fire in the night.
Oh yeah, yeah, they would find they would find me.
Like, yeah, you ruined our team's chances. Therefore, you have to die. It doesn't matter if this guy walked out in front of, you know, traffic. It doesn't matter that he fights dogs in his basement.
Right.
You have to die because of, you know, that's the kind of cultural part of it I don't like.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, you know, it's fine. And yeah. This is none of this. Who knows how much of this stuff applies to Aussie rules footy? Like, this, you know, they could have entirely different cultural aspects to it too. I assume that they're like, I assume it's kind of rowdy and stuff because it's rugby related.
Yeah.
And rugby is rowdy. But also just because I'm thinking of like British soccer hooligans, and I shouldn't be thinking about totally different continent. I don't, you know, stupid. Yeah, me. But
you're conflating them. But like there are leagues. So like I'm going to admit a minimal amount of research into this, but like it is a going concern. It is a thing that people seem to care about over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a real thing. Yeah. So this is our blank slate episode. I don't have anything else to say about this game. Like it is like a Nintendo game, like a Nintendo sports game, for a sport that I don't understand. There's not as much game, you know, there's not as much internet gold as maybe I thought there would be.
No.
You know, the review is just like kind of an ambassadorship. The fact is just like telling you about the game. The Wikipedia kind of tells you a little bit about what that game is, but not, you know,
the Wikipedia reveals that there is a boom, if not a booming and extant market for Aussie rules footy games over there. There are sports games being developed today around the sport that just do not show up here.
Yeah, which is, of course makes sense.
Yeah,
you know. But I have some discussion topics.
Okay,
blank slate. And they set up by far the number one thing people said is like, hey, we're recording some Magic Sufferings, a little bit under the weather, I might not be at my best improvisational self, what can we talk about? And the number one thing many people in various aspects have been asking us about, talk about food.
Oh, okay.
And just kind of in general. So so there's a couple little guiding things, but food, do some food for a little bit.
Okay.
One of me says, Emma changes to no question. Jackson says, please spend an episode discussing why waffles are the best breakfast.
Oh, geez.
I don't think waffles are the best breakfast.
No,
so let's talk
about
that. Cool. What best breakfast? What do you think?
Oh, geez. So I like waffles, but I've moved away from a sweet breakfast is my thing. However, I would be lying if I said that I didn't at this moment have some waffles frozen, not frozen waffles, mind
in
you, like
pants.
not yeah, no, but in my freezer, like occasionally. Oh. I own a waffle iron. I will occasionally just make a shitload of waffles and I will freeze them so that I can heat them up in the oven later so they still stay crispy, and then just have like, hey, here's a half of a waffle along with like bacon and eggs. I think the perfect breakfast. I love a classic. I like you know, some bacon or sausage with scrambled egg, dry, like a dry scrambled egg, and a little bit of toast and butter. I'm super boring in that regard, but I love a savory breakfast.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on the sweet part. Like I don't do a sweet breakfast for obvious diabetic reasons, but also I don't have the taste for it. Even when I'm, you know, have been better about diabetes and have eaten more carbs and sugar. Mm-hmm. I still don't really like a sweet breakfast.
Yeah.
I love sweet stuff. I'm a Benedict guy. I like, if I go out.
Oh, wow. That is a, well, I mean, yeah, it's obviously something you're going to do at a restaurant.
It's
yeah.
Yeah. I don't at home. My home breakfast is avocado toast.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's either bacon or an egg. I usually will do some kind of accoutrement, mm-hmm. and then avocado spread on toast with feta cheese and salt and pepper. And oh, I think that tastes awesome.
That sounds delicious. Yeah. No. If I'm at home, like during a work day, I cook. So again, because I plan ahead, I cook shitloads of boiled eggs at the beginning of the week in a rice cooker. That is a great way to cook boiled eggs to a pretty good consistency. And I will just have like two boiled eggs when I wake up, and like that is my breakfast.
Mm. Yeah. See, yeah, I can't do just eggs. Mm. I need eggs to be mixed with something or they gross me out. I'm not trying to fully aim this, but like I can't just eat an egg. But so like, that's my home breakfast. But if I'm choosing, like again, the ideal, the best breakfast.
Yeah.
I like a Benedict a lot.
Yeah.
Various Benedicts.
I can't get behind a Hollandaise. I don't care for a Hollandaise sauce. I don't go for creamy unless it's like the yolk of an egg, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, you're not you don't like a cream sauce.
No.
Yeah, whereas I'm way into a Hollandaise.
Yeah.
I also like a chicken fried steak if I'm going out.
Oh shit. I never even thought about doing a chicken fried steak for breakfast. And that's the thing, because eggs and a rare steak, like steak and eggs is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not talking about, so we accidentally asked answered what our daily breakfast is or what our like home casual. But do you want to re-answer now that it's an ideal breakfast? Would it still just be like bacon, eggs, and toast? I think that's fine.
Yeah, no, but I mean, just that... like if I go to like a like a diner or a, like a Bob Evans or a Denny's, you know, I don't go for like a grand slam. I'm just like, give me, you know, some real basic shit. Like, I don't know. There's there's something about scrambled eggs that have been cooked by a fry cook, or you know, like fuck it, I'll take the entire meat rainbow. Like a sausage link or a sausage patty with maybe some hash browns on the side. Like, again, I feel very uncreative in this, but like those basics cooked by somebody else, you know, probably when I'm hungover, are wonderful things.
Yeah, it's really good. Like I will make that for dinner from time to time. We'll just make eggs, toast, and bacon, and that's really good. I know I always never make. I only like sausage in restaurants. I never make sausage at home.
Mm, yeah,
that's just kind of so.
Yeah, yeah. So hash browns have been my white whale recently. Like I put it in my mind, I'm going to buy frozen hash browns and I'm going to fucking figure out how to cook them.
It really sounded like you said, I'm going to buy frozen hash browns and I'm going to fuck them as your white whale.
Well, so you let them thaw or you cook them to 98.6. Just get it in there. You know, it's like a nice mush. Hash browns are very hard to cook at home. I love a good like crispy. I'm not talking about home fries here. I'm talking about like shredded potato hash browns that make into
kind of
a
like
good
charred like on one side.
Yeah, like you make them into a, like a little patty that's like kind of creamy in the center. You know.
Yeah.
Like I pretty much have been trying to get that down.
Oh yeah. You ever have a latke?
Oh, latkes are fucking great, like with the onion like in there.
That's good shit.
So
that's kind of ideal breakfast. I feel like that covers the food spectrum for things. There are other meals of the day, but we have to save it for when somebody inevitably makes us do that cricket game. Let's see what else we have here. Do you, there's some of them I'm going to skip. Don't feel bad if I'm skipping your thing. I'm just choosing, ones that I think will make the best, kind of discussion. What do you, if you like all time history wise, and this is kind of bland video game podcast talk, but we can go through this real quick. If you have to choose a favorite video game system, which one would it be? It's kind of a variation on the desert island thing. Like you just get one system.
Yeah, like that is very different because like the desert island one is skewed by availability of time consuming things. So like PS2 would be the desert island one. And if we're assuming that just a MacBook that can run whatever a MacBook today runs, like
yeah,
if that PC's is if
gotta
that
be
is
out
off the system,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, because PC would be the only good answer for anybody.
Yeah.
Every other answer would be wrong.
Fuck. A DS Lite.
DS Lite?
Yeah.
Yeah. Going for the DS because it can play the GBA rather than the 3DS, which you can play 3DS and DS.
Right, yeah. That's a little bit of a cheat because a lot of good stuff from the SNES has been pulled up. Like SNES would have to be a perennial favorite, like if I was saying like historically or whatever. But a lot of the stuff that I love on the SNES has been brought forward. Like, fuck, I can play a Kirby Superstar on the DS.
Yeah, and you can play all the Square... Like 16-bit RPG stuff. That's really good. I would be, you know, considering those kind of availability things, I would probably choose the same. Mm-hmm. I'd probably do DS. It'd either be DS Lite or 3DS.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of 3DS games I like a lot, and mm-hmm. not the GBA is not, you know, I like the GBA, but it's not as strong to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it'd be choosing GBA or 3DS mm-hmm. to figure out which side of that thing I wanted to be on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
I mean, if I was talking like historically, like favorite era for the highest quality stuff, it would have to be SNES. I mean, just you know, that is childhood. That is stuff that I appreciate a lot historically.
I think we're in the same kind of pocket. And then Desert Island, like PS2, has the widest, most diverse library.
Yeah,
that's like all excellent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not all excellent stuff, but there's tons of high highs.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff, and like, you know, there's something like if each of us were born 5 years later, maybe the 360 would be something really similar to that, where it has a similarly wider library,
mm-hmm.
just of stuff that was made later.
Yeah, yeah, 360 seems like it doesn't seem quite as wide.
Yeah,
at least to me, like, or at least not as much like kind of weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like. I think the PS2 era is actually kind of like a real shitty era for JRPGs.
Yep.
I think the 360 era is as bad or worse.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah.
You know, like it's all 16-bit and PS1 for that. And then a couple outliers beyond that. But like just grabbing a bog standard, like I'm not going to play like Rogue Galaxy. You know, like that game is really, really boring and slow and there are really bad load times. Like I'm not going to play Xenosaga. Like that game is really boring and slow and there are bad load times. Like,
yeah,
that's not fun. At least to me.
Yeah. Well, then the counter argument is something like a Persona 4 or a Final Fantasy 10.
Yeah. So, of course there are exceptions, right? Like, PS2, it also has like Dark Cloud 2. There are good things for it. Mm-hmm. I guess there may be fewer of those, I think, in the generation after that.
Yeah.
You know,
well, no, you can get like the Last Remnant or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like, that's, some of that stuff is kind of fine, but I don't think it's a draw. I'm going to end us with the most appropriate one.
Okay.
Here. Cause, your friend of mine, Jenny, was talking about, let me see if I can find the original thread. She just said more Australian jizz euphemisms.
Wow, that is so.
And it just kind of happened to work out. She was talking about jizz euphemisms earlier.
Okay.
And how did she bring it up? Cause she follows this Twitter thing that's like dwarven porn stars. And one of the dwarven porn star names that came up was Spunkbarrow Tot Spray. And she was talking about that as Tot Spray. And that was the jizz euphemism. And she's like, everyone else, you know, do some other Australian jizz euphemisms.
Okay.
So we had a couple, when she did that, my one that I added was koala cock. And then
I'm going to go back to the same well, but Rugu.
Yeah. Rugu. Very good. And then this, some guy on Twitter named Jim said, the thunder from down under. pretty good. But can we think of any other Australian jizz euphemisms, to tie into the world of, Aussie rules footy.
Australian. No, let's see here. I don't know. So low hanging fruit, goomerang. It comes back like, to you. Emphasis on comes.
Goomerang's not bad. Like I'm actually like, I would take that. Like, then like Kenga goo, like you, anything goo, like goo is a real.
Yeah. Goo, definitely. I mean, just, I know that the person who bought this episode is from Australia. I know, like we've already established, we have lots of friends and stuff. The colloquialisms that come out of Australia seem to lean on lots of very, let's say, childlike vowel sounds.
Yes.
And repetitions, right?
Yeah.
So something like kumiwami would not be out of character for an Australian fetish scene.
No. Like kumiwami or come about or like, you know,
cockabout.
Yeah, going on cockabout, you know, and then just like it's just you making spray in every part of the outback.
Right.
You know, the spout back. I don't know. Like there's spout back. Like, you know, I was trying to think of something with for fosters, but that's harder.
Mm.
You know, than I wanted to.
Yeah. let's see.
Just Vegemite.
Yeah, Vegemite. Yeah, Vegemite. I'm trying to draw something. Ayers cock, also known as Guluru. That one is that's probably a little specific to people who know what a mountain is named in Australia. Yeah, see, again I'm revealing my lack of creativity by leaning on goo so hard.
A seed D seed. Yeah, the band.
Well, people suspect that AC/DC is also a reference to bisexuality.
That's true, and you know, it works out.
It does. Let's see here. Jizzing Matilda.
Yeah, sure.
A little direct, but
let's see. Koalas are real cute.
What?
I said the koalas are real cute.
Yeah, koalas are pretty cute. This is hard, Gary.
Yeah, I know. It's I'm going through them, but it you know, kind of going through things. Oh. I know about Australia.
How about this? The Jizmanian Devil?
Jizmanian Devil is not bad at all. I like it. I'll take it. I keep wanting to come up with like something like I want something that rhymes with spray or sprum.
Okay.
You know, and I keep trying to come with these portmanteaus.
Sprayers rock. Yeah.
Yeah, Sprayers Rock. Or like, I keep like wanting to have like a Sprombat or something. That's not Sprom doesn't bat. Make cum. Yeah, Spumbat, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, that works for me, you know, because I say spum
right.
all the time. But that doesn't, it doesn't, you know, actually go for everyone.
Cumbera. That's the capital. Yeah. Like, this is painful, Gary.
I'm the didgeridoo spooch.
Okay. Yeah.
Or didgeridoo don't, depending on how it is. I was trying to come up with a portmanteau also for Aborigine and jizz, because they both have that jizz sound.
Yeah.
I was like, I should stop that.
No.
So, yeah. Splatipus. Splatipus is so bad.
There we go. Yeah, Splatipus is great.
So Splatipus might be the a good one to end on. Unless you got some more.
No, I really don't.
Yeah, it is tricky. This is hard, Jenny. But thank you for that challenge.
I feel like we threw something out. I think that our batting average there was probably about 70%. But
yeah, and I wasn't I knew this was coming, but I wasn't you know, going through and thinking of these. I didn't have in the pocket, you know.
No, that's fine. Yep. Do we have any more response or any more prompts?
There are, but nothing else that's like, I mean, not to cachet the people who sent them, but I don't think any other ones that would cause good discussion. I think that's a good one to go out on.
I think so too.
Yeah. So thank you. And who, remind me who suggested this again?
This was Mark Sutton.
Thank you, Mark. Really do appreciate it. If you would like to dictate games or just listen to bonus episodes of the show or support your buddies, you can go to patreon.com/dickfeedtv.
Yeah. Leave us a rating or review. It's been a while since we've had one, and we always like seeing that. That does help us get spotted by new people. Although maybe start somewhere else.
Yeah, you see, that's probably true.
Yeah. Also, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, hey, I like this, there are episodes you probably haven't heard. You can go to duckfeed.tv/store and find our Exquisite Suffering episodes. These are premium episodes that we have released for our Patreon backers, but eventually they fall to that store so people can snatch them up. Recently, we made season 2 available. And there's some good stuff in there. There is the Star Fox Adventure episode in that, Rising Xan. That's a fun episode as well. Mm-hmm. Captain Bible, where we talk about somebody giving Undertale to the Pope.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yep. And those bundles are all available at a discount as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You get a lot of bang for your buck.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. We appreciate all those things. So thank you. Until next time. Watch out for Kangaroo Dog.
Who is Roo Dog?
Who is Roo Dog?